Pardon me. Oh, that's a great way to start an episode, isn't it? This is The Life Autistic. I'm Jay Nemro, and this is episode number 691 of The Life Autistic. Well, I'm going to bring this long trip to a close, just long enough to go by and see the family tonight, and maybe have a little bit of happiness. And then I'll go off to the northern reaches. I've been way down south. Now I'm headed north to handle a whole bunch of interesting issues up there. But until I do that, I'm going to record here with you. And I actually came up with a topic. It's about when do you just pull the plug? Now, I don't mean in a life sense. I mean, when do you stop trying to save something and just start all over again? Let me give you a little context here so you won't know that I'm, you know, don't accuse me of being a reincarnation guy or something like that. This is a technology issue, although it could have some philosophical ramifications out there in other things. But it comes to mind because this came up today while I was working on somebody's computer. And we were working diligently to try to make it so we didn't have to do what's called a re-image, which is just basically just kind of wipe the whole computer out and rebuild it all over again so that you can have a nicer computer. It was a wonderful idea. We worked on it, but we weren't able to resolve all the issues, so the ultimate answer was that we're going to go ahead and re-image it. So it's been quite a lot of time trying to fix the computer instead of just this is what I call giving up. You know, I used to not like doing this at all. There was a time when I didn't do this ever, and I was some age and some experience and knowing what one can get away with, what one really can't, and not trying to waste a lot of time, that I'd still try to fix things without just uninstalling and reinstalling everything. But I've been doing it a little more often, maybe, in my old age. And, this is the, this ends up being the big issue. When do you do that? When do you just give up and go in a whole other direction? You can apply it to 50,000 different things. I find that when it comes to cars, for instance, which I try to kind of, the only thing I know about cars is what I've been able to logic out. It isn't based on experience particularly. And all of that serves me pretty well. It also means that, you know, I'm not going to make it as a car mechanic because I think it's a job that good, competent people... it's based on years and years and years of just experience of how things work, how things sound. You know, when they're starting to make weird noises, what that means, where you try to diagnose things. I find that with cars, I try to get rid of cars until I reduce their value to zero. I tend to sell my cars at probably what would be considered a loss, given probably what another person would ask for. I don't try to make a profit off of people, you know. If a car has over 100,000 miles on it, I tend to just kind of shrug and say, you know, car's probably worth a couple of $100. You know, even if it's in pretty good shape. Like the car I'm driving in right now, this wonderful state car, which is in, I think, in excellent condition. It has its check engine light on, but I'm kind of ignoring that because it's still running pretty good. It has 156,000 miles on it. By and large, if I were to try to sell this car to somebody, I wouldn't even begin to, try to sell it for more than maybe $300, which I think would be kind of a steal on this car because it's done so well. But it's getting old, you know, it's getting older. I may need to reconnoiter things because cars last longer now and you can put more mileage on them as long as you don't, you know, tear them up. So, pardon me. So, I give up on a car probably pretty early just because I don't like dealing with the car's problems. You know? And I'm not willing to pour a lot of money into them. I have on occasion in the past, and I've usually regretted it. Therefore, if I think a repair on a car is going to cost more than, like, you know, $200 or $300, then my whole point is, well, then I'll sell it for $200 or $300. Let the next person decide what they're going to fix. I'm not, you know, and I'll tell you that about houses, too. I always sell houses as is. I know a lot of people, when you give them a price to buy a house, they will say, oh, no, wait, I'll pay that price, but you need to fix this, 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 and this. And I always think that's probably the most asinine thing to do. I think it's true for cars, too. Because if you agree to buy a car based on this repair, this repair, and this repair that's been made, you're not going to get your value out of it. Because, you know what, as a seller, I'm trying to maximize my profits. And I don't always maximize my profits. Like I said, you know, I tend to sell at a loss. Because I expect that I've gotten more than what I paid for in use. You know, I don't buy a car for its intrinsic value. I buy a car to drive it. And I tend to drive it a lot. My intention is, as long as the thing still runs, I intend to drive it into the dirt. But because I have a family and a wife and things like that, I can't really do that because my wife is very, very particular about her vehicles. I had a truck once that was old and rackety and it made noise, but let me tell you, that car, that truck ran. You couldn't kill the thing. You couldn't stop it. If anything went bad, you'd just, you know, blow on some things, clean some stuff off, put some more gas in it, and by golly, the thing would start and it would run. It was just that wonderful. You know, those wonderful old cars were made with a minimum of parts, with a minimum of, I don't want to say engineering. But they didn't have a lot of, you know, they didn't have, they had fewer things on it that could break down. And they laughed at us. My wife hated that car. She hated, it was a truck. She hated that truck. Well, a few times she rode in it, she would say, I hate this vehicle. And I didn't comprehend it because it was such a functional utility vehicle. When her car wouldn't start because, you know, batteries had gone bad and stuff like that, or it was just too cold, and it couldn't handle the cold, this truck would always start up. We would jump start her car off the truck because the truck was almost a dead ringer guarantee. It would always work. But she hates it. Right now I think we have circumstances where there's cars that she really hates that we have now too. You know? Our big van, I think she really dislikes the van. I think she's gotten a little more tolerant of it because it's really the only vehicle that fit our whole family in one vehicle. So you have to put up with that to a degree, but I know she doesn't like the thing. There's many aspects of it she doesn't like. You know, if we had to do it over again, if this van was presented to us, it wouldn't matter what. I mean, if somebody was giving it to us, I think she'd say, no, I don't want it. You know, she'd much rather have a much newer one with much better accoutrements, with many more features to it. She likes the electronics package. I don't, because it's just one more thing that's likely to break down and be very expensive to fix. My best car was a Geo Metro that I got for $425 from a used car place, and the thing ran. It had to be jumped, but it hadn't ran. We had to get a new battery for it. I think we ultimately put a new clutch in it, maybe a new transmission once. But it was great because it still consistently got at least 50 miles to the gallon. It was a 3-cylinder car. Didn't have much get up and go. But you know what? I didn't care. Places I was taking it to, I was never going to drive over 55 miles an hour, and I was never going to, you know, and I didn't do jump, I didn't do jackrabbit starts or stops. The windows wouldn't roll up anymore, so I actually lifted them up and wired them up so that it would be closed. Thank goodness the air conditioner still worked on, and the heater. That was the important stuff for me, you know. And I drove that car for nearly 3 years. I think I got rid of it just before the third year of it. And I put, it had just right over 100,000 miles, and I put on the second 100,000 miles on it. And, it was having some more transmission issues, and so I just decided, I basically sold it to a kid for $50, even though the thing ran just fine. It wasn't able to stay in fifth gear, you know, and I should have just, I don't know what I should have done. Lisa hated that car. Every once in a while I could get her to drive in it with me, but by and large she hated it. And so that was one of those things where it's definitely my car. And it was a great car because it was built for its purpose. It wasn't built for any other reason. It didn't have any other use besides the fact that it was made to get me back and forth in the most economical way possible. That was back when gas was like $1.75 a gallon, and I was, you know, trying to economize. Now that it's nearly up to $4, my need to economize is still there, but I don't think Lisa would let me get a thing. I think this time around I would get more of a motor scooter or something like that. Car I got right after that was called the Sponge. It was a truck, and it didn't do so hot. We weren't able to hold on to it. I think it had several pretty major problems, and I seem to recall I bought it for like $300, and I got ripped off. I got ripped off. It wasn't worth it. I think I sunk about another $1,800 or $1,900 into it, trying to get it going, because I always wanted kind of a small truck. It was a Ford Ranger, which was just about the perfect size for a guy like me. And you know, it wasn't so tiny you had to fold me up like an accordion, but it wasn't so big that it was a big gas guzzler. It tended to be kind of a small truck. Although I don't think it really got very good gas mileage, which was one of my issues with it. If I could get something that was truck-like, that had, that I could get 50 miles. If I could get a Geo Metro and make some modifications to it, you know, close up the cab a little bit, put more of a truck-like thing on the side of it, I think that would make a really good, I think that would make a pretty good truck. Just to say, you know, I just sliced here and I sliced there and I put a somehow come up with a way so I can open up the front and the back so I could put some long pieces of wood in it, you know. I could put 20 foot long pieces of lumber over the hood through the actual body and out the back end. I think that thing would have made a very, very useful piece of equipment. Wouldn't be much for sheet stock, but I don't often use sheet stock. Anyway, and I've seen where somebody made one of those Geo Metros and cut it down and made it a little more streamlined. And he could get almost 70 miles a gallon out of it. Because with that kind of a thing, it really ends up being, can you make it lighter? Can you make the air flow a little bit better around it? That really became kind of a major issue to it. Can you pull that off? And if you could, hey, yeah, you had a nice car. But when do you finally put a bullet into something? When I say with cars, I tend to do it kind of early. With computers, I almost never do it. My wife finally made me throw out a whole bunch of computers that were perfectly fine, that worked just fine, but that you couldn't get rid of to save your life because nobody will touch them. I've still got a few spare computers, but I've been downsizing quite a bit. I tend to hang on sometimes to motherboards, maybe a couple of cases. I have more motherboards than I have cases because I tend to switch them around. And I'm currently working on, I think I already talked about the fact that I'm trying to downgrade the size of my computer system. I want to make it so that it can run well on battery power supplied by solar or wind or anything like that. I might ultimately just go the next step and go ahead and just use a use more of a really low-powered microcontroller. And because what you ultimately do when you have a web server is there's really not much going on with it. You need some kind of way to get data onto your storage device. I usually tend to use IDE hard drive, you know, the old style, not the SATA one. I would have to come up with a whole different controller for that kind of business. But, I would much prefer being able to keep it on, like, flash memory or something like that, because it's much more economical for a server But until then, you know, I run on IBM compatible type equipment and a Linux thing. I think I'll ultimately come up with something that can do the job better for me by just downsizing it all the way. You know, having a big store of flash memory. I just tossed some stuff in the car from this last thing and it's sliding around and giving me problems. Anyway, so, I might like to try to do that, just to get down that power supply. I'd really love to have it so that it could just run off of solar and, you know, either a battery or a capacitor. So that I can run this, so the thing can run 24 hours a day, even without the sun, which only, you know, pretty much runs about 12 hours a day on average. So I need to be a little bit bigger than the capacity of things, but we need to have an intelligent way to store that capacity without, you know, batteries. Batteries I don't think are very good. I would much rather have some kind of large capacitor that would, you know, drink in that excess and then give that excess off when it was needed. Anyway, I have to take a look at it, honestly. But let's see, what else do I have? I keep getting off the whole subject of when do you get rid of stuff, you know? Do you get rid of stuff when it ceases to have value for you? Or do you get rid of something when it breaks? I think most people tend to want to get rid of stuff before it breaks just for the simple reason that it has more resale value. You can sell it. I've never been a person that likes selling my old stuff. For all the garage sales I've had to run, it's mostly been with other people's stuff. I don't like selling my stuff because I don't like accumulating a lot of garbage. A lot of things I don't need. The only thing I do tend to accumulate is computers. And by and large, I hang on to the computers until they're of no worth anyway. So, you know, it becomes kind of a moot point. Let's see, what else? Oh, I don't really know what else to say. There's really not anything else. I think that's kind of the way most people are. They tend to give things away. They tend to try to get rid of things before they're garbage. Although, I find out on the surplus market or on eBay, for instance, you tend to get more truly broken stuff than stuff that just doesn't need, you know, doesn't get used anymore. You know, I'm really sad that it hasn't worked. It's chosen to finally kind of seize up altogether. Was my little DOS laptop. I had a Lexbook MB15, which is a battery powered computer. And it ran DOS. It was kind of nice. It had a few kind of features that made you kind of buggy, crazy. But by and large, a nice little piece of equipment. You know, it was getting so old that all the plastic was starting to get really brittle. And ultimately, what happened to it was that it just seemed not to not to work with batteries anymore, which was how I was using it. You know, I would actually take the batteries out, recharge the batteries, and then put them back in. And I was just about ready to buy a whole other set of batteries so that I could better handle the changeovers, so I wouldn't use up the kind of expensive little batteries. And it gave up the ghost before it even happened. But I had just bought a PCMCIA SRAM card, which are kind of expensive these days. Not very high capacity, but very expensive because they're such a specialty item now. And I just bought one and just been working with it, and it had been working great, and I was very happy with it. And then all of a sudden, this thing kind of gave up the ghost, and it was sad because I just finally worked out kind of a system to where it would work, to where it would do well. So, sadness. Sadness, sadness, sadness. Anyway, so the whole question is, I still got it, and I've been saying, do I want to work on any at all? The thing is so glitchy to begin with, it's really hard to say, should I work on it, for the simple reason that, you know, I don't know if actually working on it would net me anything. You know, my money and my time might be well spent in trying to get something else working. Like an HP 200 LX, for instance. I could get one of those for less than like $100, and it does basically what this thing did, much smaller package. And but this thing had a keyboard, had a typewriter keyboard on it. I would love to hang on to this typewriter keyboard just because it was a nice, it was a decent keyboard. It wasn't beautiful and wonderful or anything like that, but it was decent. Or I could get something along the lines of a TRS-80 Model 100, which has some attributes to it that I really like. I would need to make some modifications to it to make it what I like, but that's neither here nor there. I think it'd be a really cool little system to have. I had a chance to get an Epson HX 2000, which was really the first kind of laptop, but I was ultimately going to go for that. It was cool because it had a built-in printer, you know, a little bitty kind of cash register tape printer, but it could print stuff out on that printer. It had what's another good thing you could say about it? It had a mini cassette player on it so that you could store programs on mini cassettes and be able to have kind of a library of cassettes. That was kind of cool. I thought it'd be kind of neat to play with in the car, but the screen display was really tiny. You know, I could probably womp up a computer system now that would probably be even better than it and probably use a lot less power and be a lot nicer little system, more size the way I wanted to, and incorporate some neat little things like maybe a corded keyboard or something like that just to make it kind of useful. And then I always remember that I actually have a Palm Pilot. And you can program on the Palm Pilot, so that almost always obfuscates the other thing because I can always do things with a Palm Pilot. And that's a good little setup, too. So I would always be thinking, yeah, well, you know, why bother? Because I've got the Palm Pilot, why not just use that for things? And I ended up just not doing anything with any of them. I do have a nice new feature with my Palm Pilot. I got a TRG Pro, which is kind of a Palm 3 with a compact flash capability in it. You can stick a compact flash in it, and it'll it'll do a good job. Well done. A little nicer than the Handera 330, but you can't find Handera 330s. And when you do, you pay through the wazoo for them. These TRGs, they just kind of appeared out of nowhere. I just happened to stumble upon them. They weren't marked very well. That's why people didn't find them. And I got one for next to nothing, I think. I seem to recall I paid maybe $20 for it, including the shipping. That was pretty good. And so I kind of have a system that I can do kind of neat stuff with, and I can transfer that neat stuff over to other things. So I kind of like that little system. That one's cool. I've got it with me right now. Because it's so darn small and portable. It's good for just little programming junkets, you know? You can do BASIC in it. There's some scheme things for it. I forget what other kind of programs they have. There's a version of Forth that you can put on there. I like Forth. Forth is a neat program. It turns your brains inside out, which I think is always kind of a good thing to do. It keeps your brain exercised when it has to think along the lines of Forth. It's a different way of thinking. Anyway, so there's kind of what's going on. I don't know if I ever really got to the topic of when do you really kill something. I guess it becomes a question of when do you really kill a life autistic episode? And I just showed you that I'm just going to milk that thing till the end of time. And that, I don't care. I'm going to do it, like it or not. I love people who park like an idiot and just stay there. You know, blocks everything. And it's like, you know what, people, you really need to get away from here. Are these people? She's kind of cute, but she needs to get slapped in the head to tell her to get rid of that stuff. Anyway, this is Jay Nimro. You're listening to Life Autistic episode number 691. When should you get rid of an episode? And I didn't even ever talk about that because I do have some criteria for when I do that. This is Jay, autism@quix.us. Have a great day. If I can find my pointer. Here we go.